I understand the microphone is working. Okay. Years ago, I worked with a company in Portland. One of the men that I worked with was a Scottish engineer named John Litster. And John had a problem of remembering to put the cap back on the pins, the marker pins, when he'd put them back in his pocket. I remember on several occasions that he spent the rest of the day with his white shirt on and a tie on, looking something like this. Except sometimes it was much bigger than that, if somebody didn't notify him sooner. If you've ever had a major stain in a tablecloth or clothing or upholstery, carpet, you recognize that it can be very expensive when you can't get that out. Usually there is no way of getting it out, especially if it is an indelible marker. We're going to talk about a different kind of stain this morning, a kind that is far more serious than a carpet or shirt. And even though it might be expensive in replacing items like that, there's no way that we can replace the item that this stain is in because it is our very life. The first thing that we note about this stain, the Bible has an awful lot to say about it. Everyone has been stained by sin. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There aren't any exceptions except Jesus. He is the only one. His Father, God, and His virgin birth allowed Him to be born without the sinful nature, but not true of any of us. Our ancestral parents, Adam and Eve, were created without the sinful nature, but their nature was corrupted the moment that they partook of the tree that God had instructed them not to partake of. Because we're born with a sinful nature, it is our nature to sin. None of us had to teach our children to sin. Any of you have to teach your children to do that? They came by it naturally. It's in their genes. And guess where those came from? One does not have to teach a pig to wallow in the mud. They do it naturally, even if they've never seen another pig wallow in the mud. It's also the nature of ducks to go to the water. We raised some ducks with our chickens when I was just a kid. And I don't think the ducks realized they were ducks. They thought they were just like the other chickens. But the one thing I noticed as the ducks went to the water, the chickens never did. It was in their nature. The point is that because we were born with a sinful nature, it is our nature to sin. Many have concluded that since it is our nature, that it is no big deal because everyone else does too. Have you heard that a few times? Like about every day when you talk to different ones in the world? But the Bible squarely addresses this question. In fact, the problem of man's sin and God's response is the main subject of the Bible all the way through, from the beginning to end. That's what it's speaking of. The problem of sin, how it came about, and then the remedy for it that God put in place down through the Old Testament time until Christ came. Sin, the tragic results of sin stain is what we want to look at. We read in Genesis the result of Adam and Eve's sin. After they had partaken of the tree, God had instructed them not to eat. They were filled with shame, and when God came into the garden, you remember what they did? They immediately hid. They were shameful of what they had done. And that is still true today. When sin is in our life, we somehow want to hide that thing. Sin always results in guilt. When little children disobey mom and dad, they usually have guilt written all over their face. Over time, we have become quite better at hiding guilt as we become adults. In fact, the problem still remains, and most of the ills of our society, if you think about it, are caused by people trying to cover their guilt, whether it's through alcohol or drugs or a multitude of other things that we deal with in our culture. It's because of the guilt of sin. The second tragic result of sin is death. Death in the Bible speaks of separation. Adam and Eve experienced a broken relationship with God and separation from Him, which the Bible calls spiritual death. Broken relationships, even between humans, are always the result of sin of some kind. That's a pretty broad statement, but if you think about it a little bit, you'll recognize that is true. Sin does not only produce spiritual death, but it also resulted in physical death for Adam and Eve. We know they didn't die immediately, but their death clock began the moment they sinned. In fact, death came to all of nature as a result of their sin. The third result of sin stain is it keeps one out of heaven. The prophet Isaiah speaks of the way that leads to heaven with the following words in Isaiah 35:8. And a highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. The unclean will not journey on it. It will be for those who walk in the way. Wicked fools will not go about on it. And John describes in the vision that he saw of heaven, Revelation 21:27, nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Revelation 22:15, outside the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the adulterers, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. There are many other scriptures that speak of the fact that sin cannot enter heaven. Would you agree that that's not believed by most people in our culture today? Most everyone thinks they will walk right in. Scripture's very clear. Sin won't enter. So obviously we find ourselves with a very, very serious problem. We have sin in our lives, and because of it, we have a broken relationship with God, separation from Him, so we are spiritually dead. We also carry a load of guilt in our lives, and we have no genuine hope of entering heaven. And as a result, most have tried different ways of overcoming the problem. But the truth is, none of us can remove the stain of sin in our lives. Mankind has argued down through the centuries about the state that we find ourselves in. Some have argued a just God would not shut us out of heaven when we inherited our sinful nature from our ancestral parents. How could a just God do that? If we inherited sin and we can't do anything about it? The problem with this argument is that it does not recognize the incompatibility of sin in God's presence, nor does it consider the corrupting nature of sin. If sin were allowed into heaven, it would become corrupted. Satan was cast from heaven when evil rose up in his heart. As I said earlier, it is this very issue that the whole Bible addresses. God created man in his image with an immortal soul, and he has a great love for us. Mankind falls into sin, and the resultant stain of it in our lives is a horrible dilemma, because sin stain is indelible. Its stain is like the stain that is in this shirt. There's no way I can get it out. I'm quite sure that you have tried to remove the stain of sin from your life just as I have. And we try all kinds of different ways, don't we? Perhaps you had the problem as a child of disobeying your parents at times. If you were blessed to be raised by parents who took discipline seriously, like I was blessed with parents that disciplined us children because they knew how important it was for us to learn those lessons. And I not only avoided doing some of those things to avoid the guilt, but I also knew I didn't want the board of knowledge applied to the seat of understanding. I had that a few times, and I didn't want it anymore. I have to tell you, my brother was a few years older than I, about 6 years older, so when we would get into trouble, we would both end up with a spanking, usually. But since he was older, it usually was done with a yardstick, an old wooden yardstick. And Dad would usually break it on him. I was thankful for that. While I'm right there, I'm going to tell you, too, Dad never did it out of anger. I can't say that about myself. There were times when I administered punishment out of anger, which I shouldn't have. But Dad would step away if he was angry. He would go to his bedroom or somewhere, and we were sent to ours. And Dad would come back, often, with tears running down his face. And then he would go ahead and administer the spanking. Problem most of us have is if we take that time, then we get real soft and we don't administer the spanking that is needed. Dad did, and it was effective. Problem is that when we would make changes, we would often have something else crop up in our life, another sin, wouldn't we? And that carries right over into adult life. We kind of get over one, and then something else crops up. The sins may have become different as adults, but no matter what we do, we cannot remove the stain of sin from our lives. And the consequences are extremely grave. The problem is that our sins are more than just surface issues or external issues. The stain of sin is not just skin deep. There was a real crude saying that went around when I was a teenager that said, beauty is only skin deep, but ugly goes clear to the bone. Kind of crude. Not true. But it is true when it's speaking of sin. It not only goes to the bone, it goes to the soul and the very spirit of man. Our sin problem is more than skin deep. And God spoke to the Israelites through the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah 2:22, although you wash yourself with soda and use an abundance of soap, the stain of your guilt is still before me, declares the sovereign Lord. And Jesus says in Matthew 15, 18 and 19, but the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean, for out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. Our problem is that no matter how hard we try, we cannot remove sin stain. It is within our very nature. And as we noted earlier, some argue that we will not be held accountable or suffer judgment because a just God could not hold us accountable for that which we inherited. However, life teaches us something different, doesn't it? Many innocent people suffer the horrors of war, the ravages of sickness or disease, through no fault of their own. So far, we have spent our time looking at the whole nature of sin and the stain that it gives us and the tragic hopelessness it has brought to all of mankind. And I suppose that God, in some sense, could be considered unjust if he just wiped his hands when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, just wiped his hands of the human race and said, I'm not going to mess with it anymore. Because we have a major problem. We have sin, we have a sin nature, and we can't enter heaven with it. The whole rest of the Bible is an account of God working out his plan of redemption, culminating with the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we're going to spend the remainder of our time talking about that. We want to talk about God's marvelous stain remover. First, I want us to consider the extent to which God went in order for us to have the stain of sin removed from our lives. And that reveals a couple of things we want to consider. It reveals just how serious our sin problem is. Since God is a creator of all things, he has all things in the vast expanse of the entire universe, and even the microscopic creation, he has all at his disposal, and all the power in heaven and earth at his disposal. And yet there was no way for him to deal with our sin except for his own son to be put to death and give his life for our sin. Does that not reveal the serious nature of sin? The complete history of mankind from sin, the sin of Adam and Eve to the coming of Christ is the unfolding of that plan. I'm quite confident there is nothing else in the world, an entire universe, that would elicit such a response from God, that he would cost the life of his son for anything else in the world but for our salvation. The proverb rightly states, Proverbs 10:23, a fool finds pleasure in evil conduct, but a man of understanding delights in wisdom. The second thing God's action reveals is his great love for us. He created us from the dust of the ground. He did not owe us anything. There is nothing we could do for him except for one thing. He created us in his image with the capacity to make our own choices. So we could choose to love and obey him, or we could choose to reject him. That's the only thing that we can give back to God, is our own love back to him. Our ancestors chose to disobey and plunged us into the disaster we have just described. Since the only remedy would require God's son to suffer humiliation, abuse, and death, and he had no obligation to us whatsoever, what would cause them, I would say, God the Father and God the Son, to decide to go through with that plan? We are told in Romans 5:8 the answer, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I know it's not news to any of you, but we need to take a fresh look quite often, don't we, at what He has done for us. Their love for us was the sole motivation for Christ going to the cross. Then we come to the main point this morning, the miraculous stain remover. I brought a stain remover up here this morning. When I spray this on, you're going to see this spot disappear. It's going to be pure white again. You believe that? It's not going to. It's water in here. And I'm not going to get myself wet. But I don't think there is any stain remover that would do it. And there isn't any other stain remover that will do it other than the one we're going to talk about. By the way, if I did have one that would do that, I bet I would have a few sales right after the service. There is a stain remover that will remove the stain, the far more serious stain that we've been talking about this morning. There is a stain remover that will completely remove the devastating stain of sin from your life and mine. It will remove the guilt, the spiritual death, and prepare us to enter heaven. That's an amazing stain remover. It may sound very strange, and to some it sounds repulsive. I hope that's not the reason that we don't sing about the blood in church very often. Most churches, we don't sing about it. And it is kind of something we back away from, isn't it? But oh, when you realize what is available, it's something we ought to recognize on a regular basis. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that will wash the stain of sin away. And it is amazing, because the worst sin you could ever think of that any man has ever committed, Jesus' blood will wash it away if they will turn to Him. Revelation 7:14, I answered, "Sir, you know." And He said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Robes refer to the righteousness of the saints, made white by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of Jesus. Jesus told His disciples at the Last Supper, Matthew 26:28, "This is My blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." It is through Jesus' blood that we are forgiven. Isaiah prophesied of the days following Jesus' resurrection with these words from Isaiah 1:18, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be as wool." That's the invitation that Jesus Himself gives. If you've ever, never put your faith in Him for His cleansing blood, or if you need a fresh cleansing this morning, He invites you to receive it. And it is just that simple, to receive it from His hand. Putting your faith in Him, believing what He did is real, and it will change you from the inside out. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be washed and made as white as snow. I have a closing song on video that we're going to play. And as you listen and watch, if you would like to respond to Jesus' call, feel free to come forward or right where you are to receive what He has for us. And those who have rejoice in it as you think of what He has done for you.
Flowing wounds supply.